shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic.
Hello all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren.
You sound a lot gankier than you were 17 seconds ago. Let the show go on.
That's because we're recording. And I just choked on my own spit.
We are consummate professionals here at Shall We Read a Poem.
I'm great and everything is fine.
Well, I have a great news story for you that I thought I would open the episode with.
Sure, why not?
This is from Ride the News. The headline is Officials. Orcas escape ice hole.
I heard about that.
A pod of 13 killer whales trapped in ice off the coast of Japan has safely escaped, officials said. Drone footage earlier this week showed the orcas bobbing for air through a crack in sea ice. Wildlife organizations from various countries offered to help, but a Japanese official said that direct human intervention would endanger both the whales and the people involved. A day later, officials monitoring the whales said that they had left the ice pocket and appeared to safely escape via gaps in the ice. When reached for comment, the Japanese Minister of Fisheries said,
Oh no, Russ. The reason they weren't going to send like an icebreaker out is that they were worried that if they did, they might, the ship might end up squeezing the hole that the whales were using to breathe shut before the icebreaker could get to them and break the ice for them.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty small hole.
It was pretty small for that many whales. Yeah, I was worried about them. Yeah, they made it out. I was worried about them.
You are a big-hearted human.
I like orcas.
I kind of like them when they're doing stuff, like destroying yachts. That's pretty funny.
I know. What's not to love about them?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, I would love to see the humans versus orca war, but it would end so tragically.
Would end really poorly for orcas.
It's like they would put up a great fight, but unless we were like battling in catamarans or something.
Right. Yeah.
They don't exactly jump at you.
They don't have torpedoes or anything.
But hopefully they finally figured out fucking like boat propellers. Have they figured out boat propellers?
Probably. Hmm. Orcas aren't known for getting sliced up by boat propellers. That's much larger whales.
I like that that's what they're known for. Not for being mammals or the largest living creatures on Earth, but they're known for being sliced up with boat propellers.
Well, you don't usually see that kind of scarring on an orca, in any case.
Russ, famously known for eating chili that one time. What he's known for. Anywho, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the poem Signals.
All right.
When the light is green, you go. When the light is red, you stop. But what do you do when the light turns blue with orange and lavender spots? And this is a drawing of a stoplight that only has two lights, as if, you know, it only has a red and a green light. And it's kind of leaning over a little bit, almost menacingly.
I have a dumb question.
Yes.
Why do we still have traffic lights? Why don't we just use roundabouts?
I did not come prepared to answer that question.
Oh. That was the most genuine reaction I've ever heard on one of my poxy podcasts. I was like, oh boy, traffic signals. Let's turn this into something. It's like,
well, you can have it. Roundabouts don't work super well with a tight grid.
A tight grid.
Which is what we tend to have in cities, are these grids. Where...
What about that big roundabout in the middle of fuck off London, right next to Parliament and all that shit? That's a
right.
Pretty tight grid, isn't it?
Well, no.
I thought the tighter it was, the bigger you made
it. No, European cities aren't really generally tight grids because they were built before we had a whole lot of wheels going through.
All right.
Cities that were built for... weren't built for car traffic tend to be not as tight of grids. They tend to be a little bit windier, because roads just went wherever they needed to go for a smaller population and no cars.
Oh dear, look at this. This is a headline from, 2015. Fuck it. It's still funny though. The UK is quietly replacing roundabouts with traffic lights, and the US is doing the exact opposite. Both cite safety and traffic flow.
I'm curious to know the reason that the UK is going against going against roundabouts now.
Well, this is also an 8-year-old article, so... I feel like my brother-in-law, who I always thought would be anti-anything Europe, just because, I don't know, he strikes me as that kind of person, he heard a podcast about roundabouts and came home raving about why we don't have more roundabouts.
I love it. I love it. He got convinced.
Now, wait just a second. You mean to tell me I don't have to stop at all? That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah, I'm not great at roundabouts because I'm not used to them and I get intimidated very easily / have a hard time figuring out the speed that people are going around the circle and where they might be getting off.
And I prey on...
Just not used to them yet.
And I prey on drivers like you, like fried bologna.
I know! That's part of the problem. Is that I'm trying to figure... I'm like, I think that... Oh, they... I thought I should have gone, but they went... I don't... That's you. That's you. You're
God
the one who's
damn
like
it, Russ.
God damn it, Russ.
Well, I'm sure you had something to talk about with signals.
Yeah, so it is about so what's the history of traffic signals? So
I don't know, but the traffic women in North Korea are fucking hilarious.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so in North Korea, you know, their power grid is about as good as the power grid that runs through my body. And so, in the capital, Pyongyang, they're not going to install traffic lights, right? Because if they did, they would just be off all the time, and that would make them look,
fair enough,
the failed state that they are. So if you go to Pyongyang, they don't have traffic lights, they have traffic women. And so there's women that stand where traffic lights would be, wearing very distinctive, like, road coney kind of outfits, directing the traffic. There are no traffic lights, there's traffic women. Thanks.
What do you mean a road coney outfit? That makes me think that they're all like Day of the Tentacle,
yellow,
sort of.
Yellow, very, yellow. Very yellow and visible.
Yeah, well, I mean, when the U.S., before we had electricity commonly, that's what we used to do, was use police in, like, boxes or stands. They would stand in the road and signal traffic that way.
I was wrong. The outfits are blue.
Okay.
My mistake, North Korean traffic
ladies.
They don't
look anything like a traffic cone, then.
No, they don't.
Unless maybe you're colorblind.
However, I did have to Google twice because the first time just brought up human trafficking in North Korea.
No, that is not what we're looking for. So I was trying to piece together the history of traffic signals, and if you want to say who invented the traffic signal or who invented the traffic light, it gets complicated because we like to say that, oh, there was one, you know, brilliant white guy who with lots of resources who made the big change, and everybody else thought they were so brilliant and gave them all the money and they should be in history books forever. But the reality is that when you have a problem that needs fixed, when a problem arrives that needs fixed, people tend to fix it. And there's no one brilliant person, but several people in many different places that come up with solutions.
Yeah.
So here is a loose history of traffic signals as best as I could put together.
Interesting.
So the first traffic light was gas powered. And it was outside the House of Parliament in London, and this was in 1868. And it was just red and green, and it had to be manually controlled by a police officer.
Okay.
And this was created by a British railway engineer named J.P. Knight. So this thing wasn't very popular.
Well, I have a dumb question.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they just use the policeman?
I think it was somewhere it was easier to see. Okay. It wasn't just red and green. The red and green was at night, and then during the day it was like semaphore.
Who were they signaling?
The traffic.
So all the traffic, all the drivers in London understood fucking semaphore?
I mean, there are only two options. You only have to learn two.
Okay. So what traffic, it was, because there's only, I don't know what the streets in London at the time looked like, but I assume there were quite a bit more horses than cars.
Yes, it was just horse carriages, and it kind of was sufficient for that. But also the gas lights exploded. And they went out of fashion really quickly when they hurt the policemen.
Thus stopping traffic forever.
Yeah. Well, so then the automobile appeared. And so then people are like, oh, now we have to take traffic signaling. Really, it's important now because you've got these cars and they can run into carriages. And carriages, like, move at a, like... have way different horsepower than cars. I don't know. Whatever.
Approximately one horsepower.
Damages. Damages. Any case, there was damages. So then in the United States, this guy who was a policeman named Lester... Okay, this is his actual name. Lester Farnsworth Wire.
Hell yeah. If that were... there has never been a more inventor name.
I know.
That guy should... Yes.
Yeah, and so he's from Salt Lake City, Utah. He was a policeman, and he did what might have been the first electric traffic light, and it was made of wood. And well, what else are you gonna make it out of? I guess. But anyway,
does it mention the colors?
Let me. That's actually one thing I wanted to see is whether I think this was just the red and green traffic light. This was one that was just a two light one. Hmm. Yeah, eventually he did design it in metal. Good for him. and then who came up with the three-color traffic signal is somewhat of a debate. One of the funnier traffic signals in history was in 1920. There were some signals that were done by Acme Traffic Signal Company. And these had stop-and-go semaphore arms. And they had... small red and green lights and bells that rang before the flags changed for red stop and go and red and green. So that seems like it is something straight out of a cartoon, but it actually existed
before they were sued into non-existence by that coyote.
Yeah. William Potts is credited with inventing the three lens traffic light in Detroit around 1920. I don't know. He was some dude. But sure.
I tell you, I want to hear a book report from eighth grade Lauren. William Shakespeare was some dude talking about folk who like to kill one another.
Yeah,
the end.
William Potts was a Detroit. Okay, fine. William Potts was a Detroit policeman. It was another policeman. And he did a yellow in his traffic signal.
The madman.
It was a madman. And he was a madman. And also, it was a box that had lights in four directions. So you would have it in the middle of the intersection, and each approaching part of the intersection could see their corresponding lights, which was great. But then this guy, Garrett Morgan, is often considered the real creator of the three-way.
the light bulb threesome.
No, because he wasn't working on... So there's a guy named Garrett Morgan, and he's really cool. He's this black inventor who was born, or he, at the time he was living, he was born in Kentucky, but he was living in Cincinnati at the time. And he became a pretty wealthy, like, sewing machine company. He had a successful sewing machine business, and was also one of the first black car owners for Cincinnati. And then he saw this horrific accident in an intersection between a car and a horse carriage, and he was like, that's awful. And so he decided there needed to be a traffic signal that had three signals for stop, go, and caution, because if you just suddenly switch from stop to go, then there isn't any period of time for people to change what they're doing.
Yeah. That is the story I've always heard about traffic lights.
Right.
And the invention thereof. Yeah.
Right. Well, Garrett wasn't necessarily inventing a light. He was, it was a sign that was changed, that could be changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But, and it was cheaply, it was cheap to make, and it was, I mean, it wasn't a light as we think of it now, but it was clear, it was able to see, it was cheap to make, and so he gets a lot of credit for the three signal traffic signal, because it was, you know, well, he and also he had a patent for it, which makes a big difference in history.
The paper trail.
Yeah, and he sold it to General Electric.
But, according to the law, I made this thing.
Right. But Garrett Morgan, whether or not you can really consider him the inventor of the three-signal traffic signal, or the three-indicator traffic signal, he is more credited and more excitingly credited with building the precursor to the gas mask that was used to save lives in World War I.
Dead gum. And here's Farnsworth missing out again.
Yeah.
Well, Canada has taken it one step further, and there are some streets around here that have an indicator that lets you know that the light up ahead is going to be changing yellow.
Interesting.
That's right, we've added a fourth thing into the mix. If this thing is flashing, that means that light way up ahead is about to turn yellow. Oof. This is a slippery slope we are on. Also, fun fact, in Japan, because they don't know the difference between blue and green for complicated linguistic reasons, the
right.
Green is often referred to as ao, which also means blue. And so at some point, oh, it was 1973, Japanese officials decreed that the go light should be changed to, quote, the bluest possible shade of green, thus bringing the name more in line with both the traditional color and the Japanese naming color.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. I did notice in Japan that they looked awfully blue. But the international standard is to have the red, green, and yellow. I looked at one article that claimed that people and that Irish people in New York hated the traffic lights as they were because red was on top and green was on the bottom, and that symbolized British oppression on the Irish.
Okay.
I don't know. I read
that feels that's looking for a reason to be offended.
Yeah,
that is.
I can't. Well, but also, I can't promise you that that actually happened.
Also, can we just appreciate traffic lights are really fucking big. Like, you look at, they don't look that big just hanging up over the street like that, but when they fall down, they're huge. They come up to, like, my waist.
That's really intimidating.
In the Canadian province of Quebec, the lights are usually arranged horizontally. And each aspect is a different shape. Red is a square, amber is a diamond, and green is a circle.
I don't remember that.
So I guess if you like PlayStation, move to Quebec. I don't know. Is this some kind of Sony viral thing?
I don't know. You're the ones with an attachment to Sony.
You have a PlayStation in your living room. Oh, my wife. Yes. No, she doesn't work on the PlayStation bit.
No.
Oh, let's see. Oh, cycle signals. Oh, my God. Look at what I found here.
Bicycle signals? We have bicycle traffic signals in Portland.
Are they different from the traffic signals or from the car signals?
I mean, they're similar, except they have the shape of them is a bicycle. Like, the lens is blacked out except for a bicycle shape.
Oh, we got those. I'm looking at transit signals in North America, and now I have a brand new language to learn. Apparently on trains, you have stop, prepare to stop, flashing stop, and then four different kinds of go.
Whoa, I didn't realize it was that complex.
Not being a train driver.
Right? I thought it was just go and don't.
I don't know. How many trains still have actual drivers that do things?
Well, I mean, they are there to hit the brakes if they see something. I mean, we all know how effective that is.
I don't know. All the trams around here, or the SkyTrain they call it, that's all automated.
Right. The larger trains, I think, do need help stopping. I don't think they stop automatically.
Do need help stopping. The conductor has to get out and push. Whoa, Nelly, slow down now. Hold on, whoa, whoa, whoa. He opens the door
reins.
And puts his foot out. Pull the reins. You know what I learned from the internet when I was very young? Those cow catchers on the front of trains, those don't catch cows. They obliterate them.
I did not know that.
And hamburger.
Yeah.
Oh, do we get to talk about the trolley problem now?
Oh, sure, if you want to.
Which lever eliminates more people? That's the one I like.
I saw someone made a joke on the internet. It was like, sorry I was late for work. An intro to philosophy course was fucking with the trolley tracks again.
Badoom-tish. Okay, like here's one. If you were a transformer, what vehicle would you turn into?
What? I have never... Well, I probably did think about this as a kid, but I have not thought about this in a long time. What the very first thing that came to mind for no good reason?
What?
A Ski-Doo.
The most worthless transformer. In the middle of Las Vegas, Autobots, roll out. Sitting in the middle of the strip.
Just like revving the engine and like shaking back and forth.
Well, looking at our mental... just to appreciate our personalities, you know the first thing that came to my mind? A gun.
I thought it had to be a vehicle.
Then I realized that's not a vehicle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I like Transformers when I was a kid, and so I always associate with the one. So it's like, I'd want to be a Jet, but then I'd be Starscream, and he was a piece of shit, so I can't be a Jet. Maybe something fun, maybe like a big Earth Mover. Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool, yeah.
Then I could scoop up all the other Transformers and put them places.
You'd be a good Transformer babysitter. Just when they, like, having little shit fits, you just scoop them up.
Autobots, roll out! No, not like that, not like that.
There's this thing in Portland on Mount Tabor called the adult soapbox derby.
Oh, I love soapbox derbies.
And one year there was a Transformer one, and it actually fucking transformed.
Oh, nice. Now did it explode before it reached the bottom, or did it actually win something?
I mean, it won coolness.
I've never known them to do anything but explode.
Transformers or soapbox derbies?
Yes, both of them. I've seen the Michael Bay pictures.
Uh-huh.
Soapbox derbies remind me of that Red Bull Flugtag event a lot, where it seems like the purpose is to crash.
Right. I think probably Flugtag was inspired by soapbox derbies. I mean, you really don't want to crash in a soapbox car. Those things...
It looks unforgiving.
Yeah, those things aren't really made for consumer safety.
You're on the street, and I feel like I'd be wearing, like, motorcycle leathers or something. Of course, at my age, I'd just fucking shatter if I fell out of one of those.
I am currently wearing a knee brace.
Oh, God, what happened?
I walked. The end. I don't even know.
Well, I don't... Let's see. I don't have any prosthetic bits on me right now. My neck hurts.
Yeah.
Well, those were pretty uplifting thoughts, eh?
They were bad. They were fine.
We weren't much of a downer this episode.
Nope, despite me starting in a terrible mood.
The podcast... Shall we read a poem? Always a mood lifter. That's all. 30% of the time, a mood lifter.
30%. Yeah.
30% of the time, a mood lifter.